Welcome to the Sharkpreneur Podcast with Kevin Harrington and Seth Green. Kevin Harrington is the inventor of the infomercial, one of the original sharks from the hit TV show Shark Tank, and has generated over $5 billion in TV and digital direct response sales. Seth Green is the world's first trusted authority on cutting-edge direct response marketing, a best-selling author, and the only three-time Marketer of the Year nominee. On the podcast, Kevin and Seth interview sharkpreneurs who share straight talk on what it takes to explode your business.
49 faces looked to him in triumph. Over the last 12 months, they had each taken turns and promoted his business for a week at a time, driving over $987,342 in revenue. What if you had a network of 50 centers of influence who promoted your business every week for a year? Grab your copy of the number one Amazon best-selling book, The Ultimate Guide to Growing Your Business with a Podcast, at 33% off the Amazon price by going to ultimatepodcastbook.com. Again, that website for 33% off the Amazon price is ultimatepodcastbook.com. Welcome to the podcast. This is your co-host, Seth Green. Today, I've got the good fortune to be joined by Elliot Chapman from Chapman Capital. Elliot, thanks so much for joining us.
Seth, thanks for having me on. Pleasure.
Our pleasure. Let's go back in time a little bit because you've had an interesting journey. How did you get started?
It certainly has been an interesting journey, and it's certainly not been... if you'd have told me at 18 this is what I'd be doing, I would have probably laughed in your face. So I left college... probably like most 18-year-olds, not really knowing what to do or where they wanted to go in life. So I decided to pursue football, as it's called over here, soccer for you guys, and ended up coaching and setting up a local soccer academy where we coached school kids from 4 all the way up to 16. Did that with a friend and ended up growing that to the largest local soccer school in the UK. I then got headhunted to go and do this nationally out in the US. So I moved out to Boston, did something fairly similar, but on a much bigger scale. I did that for a couple of years, was still sort of in and around the sports scene, came back, and we had a family business, which was an IT management consultancy. So something completely
different from football.
And funny enough, as my background suggests, I didn't know anything about IT, but I was persuaded to give it a try, persuaded to enter the family business. And within a week, absolutely in love with it. I fell in love with the dynamics of the IT management consultancy world, which again, even those words today still sound really strange saying that I loved it, and helped grow that to 5.5 million a year turnover. And at that point, we doubled in size from when I took over. And I was pretty exhausted. And my brother, Dom, who I run Chapman Capital with, we were at a similar crossroads. So I exited the family business, which was bureaucratic, let's say, but exited. We're still friends. And we set up Social Chaps, which was the first of the Chapman Capital group, and delved into the digital agency world. And that was the platform for us to start acquiring other agencies and growing through M&A and not just growth in its traditional format.
Right, of just getting clients. Well, congratulations. Yeah. That's a heck of a journey. If it isn't, the longer version of that story should probably be in a book somewhere.
It is a strange journey, but one that I'm pleased to tell.
I mean, if you think about it, growing those football academies, technically, I mean, you had marketing chops.
Yeah, right? We had to.
Something the biggest of its kind in a country. Obviously, you had to execute some incredibly successful marketing to pull that off. Before we dive onto the agency side, what was a lesson or two you learned growing the soccer academies?
It was literally knocking doors and going and trying to charm people to let us into their schools, to coach their kids, to coach the curriculum, and then persuading parents to pay us. It was, I mean, we could break it down into more granular detail around the marketing and how we got into it, but the biggest lesson was knocking on doors and being comfortable with rejection.
That's the thick skin is a very, very important lesson, and I'm sure that's come to play on the marketing side as well. When was the decision point in your agency career when you said, rather than just growing this by client acquisition, we're going to start acquiring other agencies? When was that? How did that light bulb go off?
So it certainly wasn't on our radar at all. We had a client who was an M&A specialist, so mergers and acquisition specialist, and they were setting up essentially a SPAC, so a special purpose acquisition vehicle, and looking to group a number of different agencies together. And they approached us and wanted us to be the anchor agency, which was sort of, we would drive all the marketing and all the lead generation throughout the whole group. And we were then put under offer. It didn't materialize, but that was the first opportunity that we, or the first light bulb moment where we were like, okay, we could actually potentially grow something quicker if we started acquiring other agencies. And then we sort of catapulted into a world which was, how on earth are we going to execute this? How do we raise money? Do we need to raise money? And then you're into a minefield, which is the finance space, which is again a whole new learning curve, because running an agency and acquiring an agency are two very different skill sets.
Absolutely. Now, there is obviously the marketing that has to happen to, it's a different marketing campaign to get the attention of agency owners for acquisition purposes. Once, how many, am I allowed to ask, how many agencies have you acquired so far?
So we have acquired six agencies, so acquired and invested in. So some we've done full, we own the majority shareholding. Some we just own a minority shareholding. But everything we're doing is we are building to exit. So there is a clear narrative on what we're trying to do. And we've made that really, really clear. And you're right around trying to get agencies who are interested. There are several different ways that you can try and pique somebody's interest. You can leverage your network, but you can also do outbound. So the same way that you would acquire any of your customers, you can directly approach people to try and sell them your business. And again, like with sales, like marketing, you'll find agencies or companies that are, some are ready, some have never thought about it, and you have to sell them on the idea of, this could be a good way to potentially get some cash in your pocket. And others you're going to get rejected from. So it's although it's a different skill set, the methodology is pretty similar.
Now, are you having those agencies continue to run the way they've always run? Are you implementing, like, let's say, your systems, your services to get more economies of scale? How does that part work?
Bit of both. So they are going to be standalone agencies. We're not going to merge anything together. They maintain their brand, and they operate as is. We do come in and we do assess the processes, we assess the systems. And in the majority, we have implemented what we would like to think is improvements. And they are now coming to fruition, sort of 12-ish months on. There's been a couple where, or certainly a couple of parts of the agencies where we haven't touched. We've left them alone, we've let them be. But by and large, we are coming in improving processes, improving systems.
That is awesome. And if they're all under their own individual brands, what is the exit strategy? Because obviously, I would assume, possibly incorrectly, that if you put them all under one umbrella of one unified brand, it might be an easier exit than if you have a collection that's under an umbrella, but it's not branded.
Yes and no. So in some cases that would be correct. And it may well still be correct in our case. We're yet to find out. But in my opinion, we've bought the brands because the brands are excellent, because of who they are, what they stand for, and the values that they uphold. And in the management consultancy, I did a lot of mergers and a lot of integration work. And it's really, really hard to get right. In my opinion, you take away a lot of what is a lot of what you love and a lot of what you've bought for the sake of this eventual exit. I still believe that we can achieve a positive exit through a group or a vehicle and still have the brands doing all of their own amazing work. I still believe there is a place that this can work. And it's an important part of why a potential agency owner would be comfortable selling to us. Well, and it's sometimes an agency owner just doesn't care, or any company owner. But in most cases, they want their asset that they've built protected. And a strong part of why I think we can build really good relationships and actually eventually buy these agencies is because we do give them the assurance that we're not going to rip it apart. We're not going to merge it into something bigger or under one brand. A key part of how we can build their trust is by giving them that assurance.
Awesome. And are there minimum agency size in terms of turnover / revenue, employees? How do you decide who's an ideal target other than them being willing to talk?
So we do have a minimum threshold. They have to be close to the £1 million revenue mark. Over is absolutely, it's great. It's easy to value. If you're slightly behind, it's a trickier deal to do because the value in the business just isn't as high. So that's where you'd see us doing more of a minority shareholding. We'll try and work with you to get through that £1 million a year barrier. But that is typically sort of, we're in and around that £1 million a year benchmark. We will talk to most agencies. And in the last 18 months, we have spoken to probably around about 200 agencies. You do have to kiss a lot of frogs and nurture and really hold their hand through the process. But ultimately, size is one element of why you'd qualify somebody in and out. The values of the founders are what we really try and focus on. Ultimately, we're going on a long journey with these guys, right? You don't want to be working with people that you don't want to go for a beer with or go out for lunch with or spend, you know, a considerable amount of time working with. So we really try and pin down the values of why they started their agency, why do they get up in the morning, where do they want to be in 5 years' time, and try and align on values and how we run a business rather than, you know, the size of the company. The size of the company, we can make that work quite easily, in my opinion.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, how are you helping them get to the next level? How are you helping them grow beyond where they were when you got started with them?
Yeah, so we've got one of the cornerstone agencies is we've got a lead generation agency, which is the first agency that Dom and I started. And we implemented these same methodologies to grow the previous businesses that we were working in before it was an agency, before we even realized that we wanted to do an agency. We've got principles, systems that we implement from day one from a lead gen perspective. And the same with any sort of sales process. We've then got that same cadence of how we nurture people through our funnel, through our systems, how we onboard them, how we treat them. So we've got a fairly standardized way of how we can grow companies. We've got a good track record being a lead generation agency. And as well as, you know, Dom and I, we've grown multi-million pounds companies and exited. We've got a fairly good track record of coming in and growing companies.
Well, that's awesome. How have those six gone so far?
Going well, on a whole. So in terms of growth, all have grown in some way, shape or form. The biggest challenge with any acquisition, with any investment is people. Systems are all easy. It's black and white. You implement them, they either work or they don't, and you can fix them. The hardest part with any acquisition is people and getting people up to speed with what our standards are, with what our expectations of what good looks like. And that's been a real learning curve for us. Having done it before for somebody else and then doing it for yourself, two very different practices. You've got to have sort of nerves of steel at times. But on a whole, the last 18 months or coming up to the last 18 months have been, it's been a phenomenal journey, good growth. Met some amazing human beings, and personally, the growth has been tremendous as well. So really, really enjoying it. Enjoy the pressure.
That's a great way to look at it. Achieved all this success. What's your biggest challenge now?
Biggest challenge now is continuing the growth trajectory that we're on. Market and the climate is probably one of the most challenging since COVID, in terms of acquiring new customers, in terms of where budgets are in the agency world. So to achieve the same level of growth or somewhere close would be certainly for 2024 a massive challenge. And that is our biggest challenge. The second is managing our own expectations. We've achieved some really good growth quite quickly, in terms of acquisitions, in terms of investments. what this year needs to be about is consolidating and growing what we've already got rather than continuing on this buy trajectory, because eventually there's only so many hours in a day. So those are my two biggest challenges for this year.
Awesome. Your passion is obvious. What do you like best about what you're doing?
Working with like-minded people, working with people that believe business should be done in a way that led and is people orientated whilst also maintaining high standards. I think trying to do business in a way that is ethical often gets pushed by the wayside, and we come up with excuses, and I've done it. We've all done it. You come up with excuses that justify doing things maybe you wouldn't be proud of. I'm proud of the way we conduct ourselves. I'm proud of the way that we look after the people that we work with. And that's when they come into the building, but also when they leave. I think it's easy to be a great guy at the start. It's not easy to be a great guy when things aren't going well. And that's something that I enjoy. I really enjoy sort of proving people wrong. I enjoy trying to be the decent person, even when it's not easy to do so.
With all of the fingers you've got in all of the different pies that you're doing, how do you balance it all? How do you stay on top of it all?
You don't. You react a lot. We could sit here and lie and say that we juggle and we do an hour here and an hour there. A lot of it is entrusting the team that you've got around you, so entrusting the businesses. And I don't see my job as set time in set businesses every single week. There's times where I'm going to be in one more, and there's times where I'm going to be in another less. It's, for me, I try and focus on where I can impact the most and not bog people down for the sake of them seeing me. And I think we as founders, as business owners, can do that way too often. And I am not, I certainly haven't mastered this, but don't manage. I don't have a set way of doing things. I sort of have set meetings for things, but everything else is quite reactive. And I think for where we're at, it sounds chaotic, and it is chaotic, but it's probably the best way of managing things for now.
All right. Well, we know your time is incredibly valuable. We greatly appreciate you spending some of it with us. For our folks who are watching or listening, where is the best place for them to go if they're an agency interested in possibly coming under your umbrella?
Yeah, the best way to get in touch is to drop me a connection on LinkedIn, which is Elliot Chapman, 2 L's, 1 T, obviously based in the UK, out in London. So drop us a connection, drop me a line, and I would love to chat.
Awesome. Well, this has been Seth Green with Elliot Chapman of Chapman.Capital. Elliot, thanks so much for joining us.
Seth, thank you so much for your time. Loved it.
Thanks, everybody, for watching or listening. We will talk to you or see you next time.
Why do so many businesses struggle while others seem to explode overnight? Do you wish you had the secret to this type of exponential growth? Now, I've scaled more than 20 businesses to over $100 million, and it's not just luck. In my new book with Mark Tim, Mentor to Millions, you'll learn the repeatable framework I use in all my business ventures for massive success. Order at kevinmentor.com and get over $1,000 in bonuses. Head to kevinmentor.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.